Welcome to California, West Coast.
Yeah, Kelowna, baby, best place in the world right here.
Kelowna, California, Kelowna, California, Kelowna, California, California, Kelowna, California.
Hey. All right, that's enough. Happy Friday, everybody. 8:06 on a Friday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Again, we're big about traditions and institutions here. So no matter what, the season, the relevance, the weather, the time, we will carve out a spot on Fridays for Kelowna, California. It's a timeless classic. It will stand the test of time, mostly in the Okanagan.
Huge sports weekend ahead of us. It's already not starting that well for me. The Americans look like, unless there's some late dramatics in the early foursomes match at the Ryder Cup, looks like the Americans are going to come out of the morning session with a 3-1 lead on Europe. What else is there? There's so much this weekend. The Whitecaps have a game.
So much sports.
The Lions have a game. Are the Whitecaps in Dallas? I think the Whitecaps are in Dallas.
Dallas is coming up here. They had some visa issues entering the country.
Okay, so the Lions play at BC Place tonight against the Rough Riders.
7:30 kickoff, BC Place.
The Whitecaps host Dallas tomorrow, also at BC Place. The Ryder Cup is on.
Yes.
Tons of NFL action, include some pretty big games. I would say that Seahawks-Vikings game, even though it's week three, that's a big game for the Seahawks. Rams-Buccaneers at the same time, while the Ryder Cup singles is going to be closing down.
Got everything.
And then the Canucks play the Kraken in Spokane in the first ever game for the Seattle Kraken.
And it's a good thing that there's all these sports on the horizon, because if the Ryder Cup doesn't pan out, if Sunday is a foregone conclusion, if the tournament's done, you've got a lot of other options.
Exactly.
And the Whitecaps play Dallas on Saturday.
Yes.
I said that.
I just want to play and.
Oh, okay.
And. Okay,
this
hold on.
Morning's Halford and Brough Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. I will not hold on.
Ish.
Who are you cheering for in the Ryder Cup? Team USA, Team Europe, or put on the Canucks game?
Can you put on the Canucks game?
There it is.
Yeah. And put on the Canucks game as winning.
Dominating. Just dominating the poll question.
63%. Get inside and watch some other sports. Get inside and watch some other sports. Like,
try
the
it
Ryder,
out.
The Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is terrific drama. Dom's rolling his eyes right now. Maybe not at that.
Just the general nature of the show.
But between Europe and USA, 32% of you are voting for Europe and just 5.2% are voting for Team USA.
Despite what you've heard this morning, several companies are interested in being affiliated with the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. One of them is the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. They think so highly of us, they wanted to get on board with the final hour of the program, What We Learns, Ask Us Anythings, all that good stuff. You should experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. Another company that for some reason or another wants to be involved with us, and I think it's because you and the orthotics turned out so well, is Kintec.
Yeah, they were like, if we can make a horse run right, we can do it for humans too.
It's true.
This hour of Halford and Brough is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. I will be wearing my orthotics tomorrow when I play golf. I wonder if this will be my last round of the year.
It's very late in September.
We never play that night course in Delta.
Yeah, I would do that, but I could do that in the summer when it's dark. I don't really want to go out at dark when it's cold. You're not I wouldn't call you a fair weather golfer, but
I turned into a bad weather golfer during the pandemic because there was nothing else to do.
Right, but previously it was, it's sun or bust, that's it. Even if it's a little overcast, you're not going to.
Come on. All right, let's go through these NFL games.
Yep.
Because you need a win.
I'm 0-2 in my NFL locks of the week, which is not a good thing because lock of the week assumes that this game is almost a guarantee. But it hasn't been that way.
I'm 2-0 because I'm so smart.
Because you've actually adhered to the idea behind Lock of the Week. I love this music, by the way.
Okay, here's the slate of games.
Let's go. Let's go!
The Panthers already beat the Texans 24-9.
3-0, those Panthers are.
Why would anyone still show up and watch the Houston Texans?
Don't know.
Who cares? First game on the docket, Washington at Buffalo. Buffalo coming off a destruction of the Tua-less Miami Dolphins.
I like what you did there.
And yet the Bills are only 7.5-point favorites over Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team.
I was somewhat interested in making this game my lock of the week because I originally saw that line open at Washington plus 9. Now, Washington's not a great football team. Some would argue they're not even a good football team. But one thing Washington does is it hangs around and makes it close.
All right.
However, I did not go with this one.
Moving on, Bears and the Browns. Did the Browns bounce back last week? They did.
They sure did. And this week we get to see Justin Fields behind center for the Chicago Bears. Andy Dalton out, although apparently when he gets healthy, he gets to be the starter again.
So he's hurt. It's not like we've seen enough of Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton is out with a knee injury.
Okay, the Browns are 7.5-point favorites in this one.
Yeah. This one is only intriguing because you get to see Justin Fields, and you could get that 1 week lightning in a bottle. He makes a bunch of athletic plays. Baker Mayfield and the Browns have been pretty erratic, up and down. They look good at times. They haven't looked good at times. This is going to be an interesting one, I think.
Baltimore at Detroit. Baltimore, obviously a good team, and Detroit, not a good team. But I wonder, as the Ravens go into Detroit as 8.5-point road favorites, does this game have letdown potential after that win over the Chiefs?
I just think that there's a potential for a cover here. Because the Lions
by Detroit.
Because the Lions did a good job in week 1 of clawing back into it and making the score respectable. Mm-hmm. And then remember at halftime, when they played Green Bay on Monday night, that game was close. It wasn't in the second half.
That's an attractive home dog for me.
Interesting. Okay. I think so, too.
Even though you have to bet on the Lions.
I know.
Blech. Colts at Titans, the two teams the Seahawks have played.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts are heading into Tennessee, and their quarterback, Carson Wentz, has not one but two sprained ankles. Is he going to play?
So they have no idea what they're going to do at quarterback right now. They have three options because they activated Brett Hundley from the practice roster.
Is that a real option or just
yes, because he took first team reps ahead of former University of Washington quarterback Jacob Eason during the week. But Frank Reich then came out and said, Carson Wentz is a tough dude. He might play with not one but two ankle sprains.
I think over those two, I would play Carson Wentz with two sprained ankles, and frankly, a sprained elbow if he had it on his throwing arm.
I would take Tennessee here all the way. Although a weird stat in this one, the last five times these two divisional rivals have met, the road team has won each of the last five.
Chargers and Chiefs.
I like this game a lot.
The Chiefs are a 7-point favorite at home.
I think this thing has the potential to have a 48-45 final score. I like the over. You can't even give me a number high enough for this game. I think this is going to be a really explosive one, in large part because the Chargers defense is all kind of banged up, and I bet they're going to be playing catch up the entire game.
Over under set at 54.5.
Take the over.
That's a pretty high number.
Take the over.
It's funny. The next game we're going to talk about, Saints and Patriots, the over under is 42.5. So 12 points lower on the total.
For the last 15 years, anytime, and it didn't happen all that often, but anytime the Saints played the Patriots, you'd get excited because it was Brady versus Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Mac Jones.
Good hair versus bad hair. Both good quarterbacks.
And I have no idea what to expect from the Saints. It was so erratic from week 1 to week 2. I almost feel like taking Belichick and the Patriots is the safer of the two here.
Or maybe just stay away from this game. The Patriots are 3-point favorites. Falcons and Giants, that's a game. The Giants are 3-point favorites. Bengals and Steelers, the Steelers are 3-point favorites. Cards and Jags, NFC West team here. The Cards are 2-0 heading into Jacksonville.
I mean, this is a Cardinals team that is off to a moderately surprising 2-0 start. They should have lost
last
week.
Could easily be 1-1.
They should have lost last week.
7.5-point favorites on the road.
Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are where Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence want to get to. Because Kyler Murray looks really good through the first 2 weeks of the season. Did you see that quote from Urban Meyer midweek? He was like, boy, one big difference is when you get to the NFL, it's like playing Alabama every week. I'm like, don't say that out loud, man. Come on.
Yeah. Especially since you've only played Houston and Denver.
Right? Like, it gets harder.
It gets way harder, Urban.
What's next?
I would stay away from even, like, I know, like, the Jags as a 7.5-point home dog. Some people would be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is still good. Like,
just stay away from
it. The Jags just seem like a disaster.
Yeah. Stay away from Jacksonville altogether. Next game.
Speaking of bad teams, the Jets are in Denver to play the Broncos. I think this is the biggest line of the week. The Broncos, even though they're the Broncos and not exactly a powerhouse, 10.5-point favorites over poor Zach Wilson and the Jets.
The Denver Broncos.
I am actually scared for Zach Wilson this week because Denver's defense is really good. And the Fangio stuff where they go to the line of scrimmage and don't give you any look. It's like an amoeba. And then they finally break into what they want to do. You're just shrugging.
So Zach Wilson is like, all right, I got this under control. Takes the snap. What happened?
I changed my mind. I no longer have this under control. You're just shrugging at everything, Dominic.
Yeah.
This is the Jets.
You were excited in week one.
J-E-T-S. Shrug, shrug, shrug.
You tweeted out his nickname, Zach's Fifth Avenue.
Well, yeah, he had that one amazing sequence of play.
But you should have known better. Nice. You should have known better.
Than to cheer for a soaker. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So we just talked about the Jets and the Jags. There was like so much optimism about their young quarterbacks. And 2 weeks in, it's kind of like, oh, man, is Urban Meyer even going to stick around? And what could they trade for Zach? Or what they get for Zach Wilson?
Honestly, I feel like they're just going to run the ball a lot against Denver.
Well, they might have to.
You can't let them have it down.
You can't let them have another soul-crushing four-interception day. You just can't. Like, you have to protect them better than that. And their protection actually sucks, too. Yeah. Okay.
I always look back to, though, like, I do wonder how you should handle young quarterbacks, because didn't Peyton Manning throw like a billion interceptions in his rookie season?
He did, but he also threw a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
There was some success.
You want a good playbook for how to deal with a young quarterback? Just look at what the Pats are doing with
Mac Jones.
That's how you protect him.
Yeah. Okay, what do we got next?
Dolphins and Raiders. The Raiders are probably the surprise team.
Yes.
Of the start, and yet they're only 3.5-point favorites at home against the Dolphins.
I don't get that one at all because some people have said, including Matt Verderam, who was on with us in the first hour, NFL national writer for Fansided. By the way, check out the first hour on podcast. You can hear everything he had to say. Did you notice when he slipped that in? He's like, I actually think they might be better suited for a win with Jacoby Brissett than Tua Tagovailoa because he said Tua hasn't been that great.
Tua isn't good.
So that could be an interesting one, but I still like the Raiders there a lot.
And here's I think, the best game of the week. Buccaneers at the L.A. Rams. The Buccaneers are 2-0. The Rams are 2-0. The Buccaneers are slight 1-point road favorites.
Which is weird because you would think the home field advantage might slide it the other way, but it hasn't. Look, Stafford and Brady have been awesome through the first 2 weeks of the season. They've combined to throw for over 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns.
I think the books know how much people like betting on Tom Brady,
too. That's true. That's true.
So that might be one of the reasons. Seahawks and Vikings, we've talked a lot about this. Seahawks 1-1, should be 2-0, but they're not. The Vikings are 0-2 and should be 1-1.
I look at this game and I say dangerous for the Seahawks because they've got a fairly desperate opponent. Who doesn't want to? If you go 0-3 is one thing, but going 0-3 and your third loss is at home in front of your fans, that's tough. They've also got really good wide receivers in Thielen and Jefferson, and the Seahawks cornerbacks stink. But here's the thing. Kirk Cousins doesn't beat Russell Wilson. He just doesn't do it.
Okay.
The Vikings don't beat Russell Wilson. They're 0-7 since Wilson's come into the
usually
league.
Usually on a field goal, too.
They just don't win. They find ways to lose.
They miss field goals.
Yeah. The Blair Walsh one you're talking about.
Seahawks are 1.5-point road favorites in this one. I feel like Mount Bruff could come out in this one. Like temper tantrum on the couch, yelling at the TV, maybe tweeting things that I might regret later.
I love that kind of Bruff.
Sunday night, Packers 49ers.
Classic rivalry.
We got a lot of 49ers fans that listen to the Halford and Bruff show on Sportsnet 650.
And they're right. We're not giving them enough credit or respect. They're good.
Yeah, they are, but I think it always comes back to the same question, like, is Jimmy good enough to win them a championship?
But here's the X factor now.
Super Bowl.
Here's the X factor now. If he's not, can they go to Trey Lance? Because they never had that option before.
Yep.
And that's the big wild card with this team. Could they say, this guy that just is so, so dynamic and can make a lot of athletic plays that Jimmy can't make, could he catch lightning in a bottle for them and be the difference maker?
The Niners
This game's hard to read for me. Really hard to read.
Niners are a home team. They're the 3-point favorite. So basically, what the bookies are saying is that these teams are pretty even. The Monday Nighter, the Eagles and the Cowboys NFC East battle between 2-1-1 teams. The Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites in this one.
First time that Jalen Hurts is going to be under the big lights. This is a big game for both teams, but it's a classic divisional rivalry. It's Monday Night Football. You got a really good matchup at quarterback, actually, between Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. Prescott's kind of been in these situations before. I'm going to be really fascinated to see what Hurts does on the big stage. I kind of like the Cowboys here because I think they gained some momentum after grinding out that win against the Chargers last week.
Okay, it's time for our lock of the week. I'm 2-0. Halford's 0-2. Yeah. My lock of the week is going to be a team that I feel has been a little bit disrespected, and people aren't fearing them anymore just because they lost in the Super Bowl and they lost a really close game to Baltimore last week. The Chiefs are just 7-point favorites at home to a Chargers team that I don't think is very good. Give me the Chiefs, -7. I realize it's a lot of points. I realize that Justin Herbert is a pretty good young quarterback, but I think the Chiefs, after that loss to the Ravens at home, are going to come back fired up and ready to go. And that's my lock of the week.
I like it a lot because that Chargers defense is all kinds of injured. I like it. I struggled with this one, folks, listeners.
Shocking.
I was 0-2. I said, I need a win. I just need a dub. I need to break this curse, this 2-week curse. So I thought, when I saw the numbers open, I'm going to get down on Washington +9 in Buffalo. Washington's not great, but they keep games close. It seemed like a safe bet. That line has moved. It's now Buffalo 7.5 instead of 9.
So you're struggling.
I'm overthinking it.
I will say that I've been in these slumps before, and my one piece of advice, don't bet on a bad team.
So here's
it can be so frustrating and so what was I thinking? Like, why would I bet on Washington on the road? Like, this is why I'm bad at this.
So I thought about that. And I'm like, you know what? Instead of playing these big point spreads, why don't we just go straight to a pick 'em where I think a good team is going to beat another good team? I'm taking the Rams at home in what's essentially a pick 'em.
When you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Tampa Bay comes in as a 1-point favorite, sure. But the Rams are at home. They're 2-0. Here's the difference in this game. Both offenses are great to start the season. The Bucs are piling up all kinds of points. So are the Rams. The Bucs' defense hasn't been great. The Rams' defense is really good. I think Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey make the difference in this game. Give me the LA Rams as a home underdog for my lock of the week.
That's a nice emotional hedge too.
Yes.
Play the lock of the week thing, Dom.
Play the button.
Play the button.
Push the button.
There you go.
Lock Burley's of the week. Frozen.
Lock of the week. And okay. Burley's frozen. Okay. The computer doesn't work. I love this text. Wow, Bruff. Way to take a chance there. You realize we're talking about the point spread here, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's not the money line.
I don't.
Yeah. I'm not like, I think the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah. And here's another. Yeah, that was like take Denver on the money line against the Sad Sack Jets. No, we're going against the spread here. Mine was basically taking a pick. I'm like, I just think his team's going to win. That's it.
Are you going to cheer against the Rams, though? Or are you so desperate right now, and is your ego so
No,
hurt?
You know what? I'm going to check out entirely, because the emotional hedge, from a Seahawks perspective, I don't really want to root for the Rams either. I'm just going to sit back and just hope.
Jimmy's luck.
I love this. You're in a slump, and you choose to bet against Tom Brady. Good thinking.
I was thinking out loud. What's the best way to break your slump? Bet against the defending Super Bowl champion.
Who's the biggest winner in NFL history?
This is how you do it. This is why the lock of the week is must hear radio.
I actually like it because I think the Rams are really good.
Must listen. Okay, we got to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to do Ask Us Anythings, What We Learns. It's all next. It's your chance to be on the radio. So text in 650-650. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line. And this is Halford and Bruff on Sportsnet 650. Get down! It's 8:31 on a Friday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. I have a message to pass along from UNICEF. The pandemic ends for no one until it ends for everyone. UNICEF is leading the procurement and delivery of 2 billion COVID-19 vaccines to countries around the world. An effort of this scale has never been done before. By donating to UNICEF Canada by September 30th, Canadians have the opportunity to make a difference and support the vaccination of millions of people in lower-income countries. Every dollar donated by September 30th will be matched by the Canadian government. Donate today at unicef.ca or text VACCINES to 45678. That will donate $10. We need to tell you about two really great companies before we get to Ask Us Anythings and What We Learns. The first, the Dilawri family of Acura dealers, hashtag TLX life. That is what I am currently living. Visit them today. Nearest Dilawri Acura dealership. Experience the Dilawri difference. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. Now, Jason, tell them about Kintec.
This hour of Halford and Bruff is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Fire up that dot matrix. And do it now or now.
Oh, we're going to the music, man. Okay.
Nah, no music today. You said you had an Ask Us Anything for Bro.
I do. I'm very interested because of the amount of Ryder Cup talk that he insists on having on the show. If I could point to your attention to the 8 pairings at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me, Jason, of the 8 pairings, which pairing would you most want to play with and least want to play with?
What a great Ask Us Anything.
This is a tough one. It would definitely be on Europe. I think I would probably take, as much as I love Lee Westwood, and I think he's hilarious, mm-hmm. he's actually one of my favorite golfers, and I'm kind of sad he'll probably never win a major.
Yeah.
I think I would take McIlroy and Ian Poulter.
Interesting.
Because Poulter would just talk and talk and talk, and I actually think McIlroy's a pretty interesting guy, and I just love to, no one has a prettier swing, in my opinion, than Rory McIlroy. That would be a great pairing to play with.
I would go with the Spaniards, Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia. I think it'd be great. We'd go after the match. We'd go get tapas together.
Yeah. You can talk soccer, maybe.
Cervezas.
We'd go to Ibiza. It'd be great. It wouldn't even be about the golf. It would just be about having a good time.
And which pairing do you see on the list? You're just like, I don't want any part of that.
Whatever one Bryson is in.
Yeah, he's not actually playing in the morning.
No, he's not in the morning.
Man, that's a hard one.
Come on.
That's why I asked the question. Make you think a little.
What would be like the most?
Just say the one with Bryson in it. That's obvious.
Well, he's not playing this morning.
But just make it up. Just go along with it. You know that's the answer.
I would play around with Bryson DeChambeau. The guy bombs the ball. I'd be like, that's pretty cool. How do you do that? Can you teach me? And he'd be like, no, look at you.
Go away.
I don't know. Probably Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. I'd be like,
yeah, seems like a boring duo.
Yeah, I'd be like, so you guys like golf, you know? Like
Jason would join that group, yeah, because he'd be the most recognizable of the three.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you're the human horse guy.
And that's crazy because Cantlay just won PGA Tour Player of the Year.
I think I saw them tee off. I think
he shouldn't have. Rahm should have won it. But
I think Patrick Cantlay is playing sans hat today. I do not believe he's wearing a hat.
Big news.
He must That's have crazy. A hat
big
headache.
News maybe out of Wisconsin.
Maybe he's got a hat headache like me. No, it is.
You're like Chief Wiggum. He's hatless. Repeat hatless.
You can see him out there. You go back and you look at the old golf highlights from the 70s and the 80s. There were numerous guys that didn't wear hats. But now everyone does. It worked to the point where it's jarring. Who's the one that had the terrible hat head tan line? Was that Stuart Sink?
Stuart Sink's got a bad one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys. Patrick Reed has a bad one.
Does he?
Yeah, terrible.
Because I've never seen him.
It's the most likable thing about him.
A male suspect driving a car of some sort, heading in the direction of
place
that sells chili. Suspect is hatless. Repeat, hatless.
That is such a good line.
Dom has no Simpsons like confidence when he plays a clip. I was like, is it the wrong one?
Yeah. I listened to it before I played it.
I forgot where I was going with that.
All right.
Let's do some Ask Us Anythings.
Let's do some Ask Us Anythings.
I got one if you want me to
start. And What We Learn.
I flagged them. I'm just really keen to impress you.
Great.
I have a couple if you'd like me to start.
Super duper.
Okay. Ask Us Anything. Unsigned, so it must be from Gary. Would you rather, would you rather Ask Us Anything? Would you rather have bacon overcooked, brackets crunchy, or undercooked, brackets chewy?
I saw this one and I'm like, who in their right mind would ever want it undercooked. Ugh. I actually like my bacon crispy.
Right. I don't like my bacon crispy. I find that when it gets...
Oh, so it's you. You're one of those guys.
When it gets to overcooked as it's in the bracket, yes, it's crunchy, but I also...
I want to eat bacon like it's a potato chip.
Right. I don't like that. I feel like there's like a bit of a weird like ashy taste to it.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I mean, it's probably not good for you, but...
The carcinogenic is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Toxic, if you will. I don't like it. I like a little bit of chew to my bacon.
Okay, but you know, like when it's undercooked... And there's all like the white fatty stuff.
Mm.
Ugh.
You know what I did the other day was I slow roasted some bacon. Now it took forever. It's like over an hour, but I put it on like, I think it was 225 in the oven. It's a it's a really great way. If you have an hour to kill.
Okay.
In the morning.
Did you put any?
If you're not doing anything for an hour, throw bacon at a low temperature.
Did you put any flour on it?
No.
That crispifies it too much, so you don't like that.
That crispifies it in the air fryer, I think.
No, if you bake it too. Yeah.
I think I don't think it'll work on a low temperature, but I get what you I know the trick because you do it with chicken wings.
Okay. I want to read this one from Rich.
Fine. Move ahead.
Rich texts in what we learned. I always get a laugh out of Vancouver's armchair critics who are losing their minds over OEL's Bagsgate. These are people who are never any good at sport or just didn't play sport. Criticize OEL if you have to, if he does not show up during the regular season. You know what I get a kick out of, Rich? And I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but people that like compare professional athletes to media or fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not supposed to be good at a bag skate. But to notice that the new guys, like a guy who's going to be under the radar so much in Vancouver, who has said that, you know, like, this is my opportunity for a fresh start and to find my passion for the game. And I know that going to Vancouver is a big deal. And the other guy would be Ole Ulevi, who is in a battle for a roster spot to, frankly, keep his NHL career alive. To notice those guys that they were lacking fitness-wise at training camp and to be like, hey, that's not worth mentioning at all. I don't understand that. It's like the Vertanen thing. It's like, how many times do we hear, like, it's not a big deal that Jake's not in shape at training camp? Well, it is a big deal because the coach notices it. Is it okay? So, is it fair to say, what about praising Will Lockwood for being out in front at the bag skate and looking like he's ready to roll?
Should we not praise him?
Should we not praise? Or it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything.
Isn't there a certain thought that still persists that training camp is to get in shape?
No, there's
it used
not
to be because
no,
it used
not
to
that
be.
Thought. Yep, training camp, you should show up.
Yeah,
to be
you should.
Should
I
show
agree.
Up in shape.
But clearly, the fans think otherwise.
Like
well, some fans.
Think I don't otherwise. Think for as far as OEL go, we actually let him off the hook earlier in the show. We're like, he's a new guy, you know, a veteran guy. Maybe he didn't know about Travis Green's bag skate. I don't think the same. This is my opinion. I don't think we should look at it the same way with Ulevi. Ulevi was. Like, he struggled the entire bag skate. He's one of the youngest guys. If he has an excuse, fine. Well, let's hear it. But I asked Ian McIntyre this. I have never seen a player like that in Canucks training camp collapsed on the ice against the wall. Like, I've seen it when I coached Pee Wee hockey, and we used to tell the kids, hey, get up. And that's exactly what JT Miller was saying to Ole Ulevi. Like, get up. This is a bad look for you. You look like a little kid out there. It's not a good start.
Ask us anything. Unsigned, so it must be from Gary. # ask us anything AUA. How possible is it that the New Jersey Devils wait for Quinn Hughes' bridge deal to expire and then get him over with his brothers Jack Hughes and Luke Hughes? These are nice narratives that are always thrown out there. They're really difficult to orchestrate and to pull off. Everyone always said that the Stahl brothers were eventually going to end up there was four of them actually, but Jared was never really an NHLer. So for all intensive purposes, let's say there were three. They always said, like, we're going to get them together on a team one day. One day they'll want to get together and play a team. It's just really hard to do.
Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
Now the Devils are in a different situation because they've got two Hughes brothers so early in their careers. I'm sure that they talk about it between the three of them, but the reality is Vancouver's not letting Hughes go anytime soon. regardless of what you thought about his game last year, he is still, and I'll stand by, he's still the most talented and most naturally gifted defenseman the organization's ever had. He does things that other guys can't do, and they know that.
If Quinn Hughes is happy with the organization and the Canucks turn into a winning team, then Quinn Hughes will want to stay. The brothers factor will only really, I think, in my opinion, become a factor if Quinn Hughes is like, I don't really like Vancouver. Mm-hmm. You also got to remember that these are really young guys still. And oftentimes what happens is they spend their first few years in Vancouver and they meet a girl or a partner and that becomes more important than playing with your brother in New Jersey. Right? Like one of the reasons that Alex Edler stayed in Vancouver for so long was family reasons, right? Like he met a girl from Vancouver and had kids, and the kids are like, I don't want to leave Vancouver. Now, ultimately, that calculus changed for him, mm-hmm. and he went to Los Angeles. But let's not worry about Quinn Hughes leaving quite yet. He's just out of his ELC.
Mm-hmm. I understand why it's out there, though. It's because two of his brothers landed on the same team very early in their careers. I get it. Ask us anything from Corey the Carpenter. Maybe Corey the Carpenter is looking for a career change because he asks, what are the qualifications to becoming a Zamboni driver? Did you see, was it you that pointed that out? That on the Canucks job board? Or was it Abbotsford? Someone's looking for a Zamboni driver. You brought it up yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Probably a driver's license.
Yeah, I guess you need some sort of Zamboni experience.
A Class Z. Sorry, that's a terrible joke.
Class C.
Z. Or Z.
Oh, sorry. That is a terrible
that's
joke.
That's a bad joke.
Yeah. That's actually not bad. You got a big N.
I kind of like that.
You got a sideways N on the back of your car.
Maybe I'm getting a little bit older, but I like that joke. is it a job for an ice technician though? Because if it's just a Zamboni driver, then you can drive the Zamboni. But if it's someone in charge of like making ice,
no, just Zamboni driver. I assume you have to like come up from the minors like everybody else.
I believe they're called ice engineers.
That's Dan Craig, the NHL's ice guy. That was always one of the worst parts of covering the Winter Classic is you had to do the obligatory ice surface. And like you were just grinding it out because nobody cares. The only want to know is on the day of the game, can they play on the ice?
Yeah, and then Lake Tahoe happens and we're all looking at it like, well, how did you let this happen?
Right, but then that's when it's a story, when something bad happens. I wrote like two stories about Washington talking about the glare from the sun. I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
A lot of people fell for your intensive purposes line. They're like, it's intense and purposes.
Really? Oh, good. Yeah. Nice.
You idiot.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's intensive purposes.
Those purposes are very intensive.
Some say they're the most intensive. Okay, we should go to break. We could save some time
We barely got to any.
Well, we'll
you
save
have
some
time.
But we'll save some time on the other side to do more.
Can you tell the people at ZLC?
Tell the people at ZLC. I'll remind you. Get your text in. We'll do five really rapid-fire Ask Us Anything. That's the goal we're going to set. Tell them about ZLC.
The official financial sponsor of Halford & Bruff is ZLC Financial, your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. To learn more, visit the website, zlc.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
Sacrifice our love. 8:48 on a Friday. It's the last segment of the last show of the week. Is this a Zamboni driver reference?
Sure.
Or you just felt like... Okay, because we got one here. A guy who is an ice maintenance worker. He didn't sign his tech, so he's Guy Ice Worker. He says you need a refrigeration ticket, an RO, or a Class 5 or lower power engineering ticket. Or license, I suppose, to be an ice maintenance worker. I suppose that's the bar for the Zamboni driver. You can't just hop on a Zamboni and do it for a few years.
To get your refrigeration ticket, they have like the refrigeration version of a bag skate, and they just stick you in a fridge for a bit.
And they say, get through it. Figure it out.
And if you throw up, it freezes.
Or just gets
so
cold.
It's not so bad, actually.
Technically, it just gets cold. It doesn't freeze. Yeah. That's the freezer unit. You know how those work, right?
What?
Please don't go in a refrigerator, by the way.
No, don't.
That was a joke. There was a very upsetting episode of Punky Brewster.
There was. There was a refrigerator in the backyard, and one of them hopped in and
they were
nearly
playing
ran out of air. It was Punky's friend.
They were playing hide-and-go-seek.
Yeah.
Yeah. taught me about the dangers of discarded refrigerators, which I never saw as a child.
Are we out of touch? Because we've had a Punky Brewster reference and a Magnum PI reference.
Punky Brewster is back, right? She's got a new show, like the adult Punky Brewster, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Soleil Moonfry, was that right. her name? She's back as an adult doing like, maybe probably
a guidance. Is she a mom or something?
Yeah,
now?
Or maybe a guidance counselor. I don't know. But anyway, points.
guidance counselor.
You know, I didn't do enough research on this to bring it up, but here we are.
Do you know what's funny? When we were talking about that Magnum PI and the final episode,
There's a new Magnum PI.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I mixed up two of the episodes. There was an episode where Magnum had to swim back a long way because I think his boat got stolen or something like that, and he nearly drowned, and he started having a lot of visions. But I do believe in the final episode, not the one I was talking about, I think he got shot and died.
You can look it up. It's right there at your fingertips.
I think
that little
did.
That
but
little
I know I did.
That little rectangle box in front of you. It's got tons of information inside of it.
It's too much typing.
There's a great scene from Magnum PI where he's walking along and he's at a church and he sees a nun up on a ladder look to be cleaning the windows. But then he stops and he says to himself, "Wait a minute. Nuns don't work on Sundays." And then the nun
Guns don't work on Sunday.
It wasn't a nun at all. The guy was trying to kill him.
Okay.
But Magnum thought, wait a minute. Nuns don't work.
Just try to imagine the writer on that show.
I'm like, is this a well-known fact that nuns don't work on Sundays? I've never heard that reference before in my life.
It's the day of rest.
Right, but nuns could be going to church or doing churchy type activities, handing out the baskets so people can put their money in.
But they're not cleaning the windows.
On a
That's labor.
So funny. Oh my God. It's one of the greatest moments in TV history.
Okay.
It is.
I'm sure it is.
It is. You don't get writing like that anymore. The Punky Brewster reboot doesn't have that. Probably the Magnum PI reboot doesn't have that. I promised we would do 5 Ask Us Anythings rapid fire.
You still have time. Go.
We got to go. Do you have 5 flights?
Oh, you figured out. I'm Googling Magnum P.I. 1989
Just
season.
Just Google, does Magnum P.I. die? It's
and,
not that
it was
hard.
Incomplete. It was incomplete.
It went black? Like he got shot and you never know if he lived
like
or died?
Like Soprano style?
Yeah.
All right.
I need the answer now.
I don't know.
All right. Okay, Maury the Mill
why
Guy.
Why doesn't the guy who's not supposed to be talking on the air Google
Maury
it
the
up?
Mill Guy. Maury the Mill Guy. This is a mashup of a question and an old man sports take, but is there any phrase, descriptor, or verbiage that you guys miss? For example, I miss when we used to use campaign to describe a particularly good season. 30-goal campaign. I still say campaign all the time.
Yeah. Did that go out of style and I didn't even know? Are we so out of touch?
No. It's the children that aren't having campaigns.
Yeah. Old school sayings. That's a hard one. You picked too hard a one for the end of the end
You're
of
right.
the show.
You're right. I did.
Can I say a saying that I love and hate at the same time?
Yes.
Because I think it's hilarious, but I also think it's very soccer.
Yep.
It's when they say, and the Whitecaps are playing with their tails up now.
Oh, yes.
And all I imagine, I kind of like it because I also like cats. Yeah. And I know that cats are happy when their tails are up, so I imagine them just like, oh, there's a bunch of cats out there looking confident with the ball, passing it around.
There's a lot of soccer expressions that I think we worked into the jargon when Euro was on, and then they quickly fell off the radar. Sixes and sevens at the back. I like that one a lot. Okay. Well, we failed.
No, there's still time. No. Go.
We failed. The in-basket is a nightmare right now.
I've got one for you.
Okay, great.
Is Ole Olevi still on the ice? Adam, the former Bath guy.
Is he still on the ice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's always tired.
There's one.
Hashtag always tired.
Well, we learned. I learned that the Canucks have no reliable defensive defenseman.
That's not an Ask Us Anything.
Kyle,
that's not an Ask Us Anything.
You know what? I wanted to read that one, though. They don't. Who's their lockdown defenseman?
Tucker Poolman. The Poolman.
Hamonic, is he their defensive defenseman? Well, he's going to be paired with Quinn Hughes, so maybe they'll get – I mean, they're going to get some – Okay. They're going to get some hard minutes.
I had a joke
minutes.
I was going to make. You know what? I'm not going to do it. I don't want
but
the
they
heat.
Don't, but
I'm
they
almost
don't.
Off the air. I was going to make a Hamonic joke, but I'm not going to do it.
I have another one.
We're
I have
so
another
close
one.
Edler and Tanev are gone, and we'll see how the Canucks fare.
Matt Abbey, what is the dumbest thing you've ever said, either accidentally or with purpose, but we're clearly wrong?
Oh, anytime that a waitress brings me my meal and she says, enjoy your meal, and I say, you too. I do it all the time. Or have a nice flight, and I say, yeah, you too.
The worst.
Yeah. I always feel remarkably stupid, more so than usual.
Here's another one from Gary. Would you rather throw the opening pitch or do the half-court shot contest or try kicking a 30-yard field goal?
Oh, we had this one flagged the other day.
Okay, so hold on. Go slower. What are the three options?
First pitch.
Opening ceremony, first pitch.
Yep. Half-court shot.
Yeah. And 30-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Of the three, the one that you're least likely to succeed in is the half-court shot. Expectations are the lowest. Most people should be able to throw a first pitch and kick a 30-yard field goal. So I would say I would take the half-court shot if only for the least embarrassment potential. Also, I think the half-court shot usually has the biggest potential earnings.
Correct.
You don't get anything for throwing out the first pitch. You get a ball.
Yeah.
And the 30-yard field goal, usually it's not that much. So there's my answer, half-court shot.
Okay, and I think Mario in Richmond has worked out the Magnum PI mystery. Okay. He was shot in the supposedly last episode, but the fans complained and the show was brought back. Oh. Yes, in season 7, supposed to be the last episode, I guess he wakes up in limbo.
I like it.
And then they were like, no, it can't be dead. And they brought him back for a final season.
It says it right there. He got shot, and then the fans complained. So they're like, let's just make him alive again. And then he adopted his daughter and rejoined the Navy?
I don't know.
We also missed an opportunity. If we wanted to connect with a younger audience, we could have brought up that he was Monica's boyfriend in Friends. Right? He's very popular for that as well. And he's still on TV. Tom Selleck has been on TV for 60 years. Do you ever watch Blue Bloods?
No.
That's been on way too long.
Can I ask a question here?
Yes.
Who was watching 911?
911.
Have you ever seen that?
Reno 911?
No. 911. Have you ever seen that show advertised?
No.
It's just about emergency services.
What's it about?
It looks like a show that should be in the 80s. Like, it looks so cheesy.
Oh, I'm looking at this right now.
It looks like today's version of Chips.
Really? I don't know.
Another timely reference for the audience. There.
Bruff.
There you go.
Always engaging the youths. Good old Bruff.
This is scintillating, but we need to go.
We do need to go. Apologies to that one guy that complained we didn't talk about sports. Try Monday.
Apologies to everyone, really.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We got to get out of here. We will be back on Monday. Thank you, everybody, once again. The tens of you that listen. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Bruff. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.